We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Field Yates.
I know, you're Larry Davids.
He's with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Field, how are you? Thanks for joining.
Hey, I'm doing great, Adam and Dustin. Phenomenal to hear you back on the airways, my friend. And
thank you, buddy.
Enjoy our chat. So especially when it's all of us at Full Voltron, right?
That's right. I missed you, buddy. Thanks for saying that. It's good to be back for sure.
You know, Field, I was just saying before you came on, I don't know if you heard me, that I'm like fighting with guys in my fantasy football, like on a text chain. That this one guy in my league is like, yeah, Tim Tebow's a great fit for the Jaguars, and I'm like, the guy hasn't played football in 9 years. He's never played tight end. What the hell makes him a good fit? What is the obsession with Tim Tebow?
Yeah, I mean, we really can't help ourselves with Tim, right? Because on the one hand, we're sitting here saying to ourselves, like, what's the big deal? It's Tim Tebow. He hasn't played in 8 years. He's 33. Yeah. Like, how many guys make a position switch at the age of 33 and have any level of success, much less somebody who hasn't been doing it for 8 years? And at the same time, it's like, I've gotten countless texts. Like, you know, my wife has asked me about it already. You know, it's like, you know, this move makes sense. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? So, you know, I think this is going to be one of those. It's going to be a short-lived experiment. Like, maybe Tim cracks the roster as like a special teams coverage player who can give you some occasional snaps as a blocker. But maybe, and that's probably it. Like, that's probably as far as this goes, because some of the other reasons that I've heard to justify this sort of fall on deaf ears for me. You know, the one that I think I'm most confused by is that, like, he'll bring great leadership and presence in the locker room. And I'm thinking to myself, even when Tim Tebow was a first-round quarterback and a guy who, you know, floated around the league for a few years after that, was there any evidence that, like, Tim's leadership resonated in the way that it did during his time at Florida? At Florida, no. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he was the heartbeat of that locker room, and they won a ton of games. He won the Heisman Trophy, and they won national championships. I can't debate that side of the leadership. I just don't know that the NFL level, if it's anywhere close to the same sort of impact. So it's a story that's going to move the needle. It's going to certainly generate even more attention surrounding the Jaguars. But I think this has a pretty slim chance of turning into anything more than just like a couple-month story.
Field, you think Urban's going to have success?
I do. I believe that Urban's going to have success, but the biggest question I have is going to be how patient he's willing to be. And also, two things. One of them is how patient he's willing to be, because I think what's happening is, like, Urban, as we know, what is it? Like, I think over his last 9 seasons in college, he lost 15 games. As we all know, the Jaguars lost 15 games just last year alone. So on the one hand, this is not normal for him. If he's willing to be patient, though, and not expect to be going 10-7 next year or 11-6 next year, like, if he understands that just going 5-12 next year would be like a legitimate improvement and signs of progress for Jacksonville, I think he should understand that, given that he knows what he signed up for. I just don't know if that's one of those things that until it actually hits you, you can tolerate. So we'll see whether he's willing to be patient or if he's going to want to do things that sort of accelerate the win now mode. And I think that sometimes those things can come back and bite you in the rear because they're done hastily. So if Urban's ready to ride this out, that's one side of it that I think will give him success. And the other side is, so I think the story of signing Tim Tebow is going to wind up being something that is asked about every single day until Tim either makes the team and finds a spot or does not make the team. And, you know, in college, while Urban didn't have control of all the headlines that he was being asked about day to day, at some point when you're the number one ranked team of the country or close to it, and you have huge rivalry games every weekend, you can just steer the focus back to football as opposed to some of the stuff that as a head coach is not so fun to discuss.
We're talking with Field Yates of ESPN. I really just want to spend the next 5 minutes bragging about my Keeper League fantasy team, Field.
Oh, my God. Nobody cares about your fantasy football league, Adam.
Nobody cares. I mean, I just built a great team in a year that I was so bad last year.
And
I am just going in with such an advantage. But we'll let it go. But speaking of fantasy, one of the reasons I like that Urban Meyer's in Jacksonville, before we move on from Jacksonville, is that Trevor Lawrence in fantasy is going to get so overdrafted. Don't you think, right? Urban likes to run the ball. He's a rookie, right? Rookie fantasy quarterbacks are rarely worth where they're drafted, but I think he's going to get so overdrafted in the leagues. What say you?
Yeah, I probably, and that's in part because he's really good, and it's also in part because there have been other quarterbacks as rookies that have had a ton of success. Kyler was awesome as a quarterback in fantasy and in real life 2 years ago. And then this past year, Justin Herbert was one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football, period. He was unbelievable. But because of the fact that, A, I just don't believe in drafting a quarterback early in fantasy in general, and B, there's so many this year, he'll probably end up being overdrafted, right? Like, I think in my initial rankings, which are very much subject to change, and as we know, rankings, you know, they can be conversation starters just as much as they can be rankings. You know, he's probably somewhere between like the 18th to 20th best option amongst quarterbacks going into the season, but not someone that you need to make a priority to draft.
We're talking with Field Yates of ESPN. Field, let's get to the Browns, who, you know, on paper at least, have had a tremendous offseason. Last year they built the offense. This year they've built the defense. They got a lot of new names, some that are proven, some that are not. How much better do you think the Browns' defense will be this year?
I was trying to think of a unique way to describe it, and I couldn't come up with anything, so I'm just going to say a lot. Like, I do think this defense looks decidedly better on paper, and I throw the caveat back, the game isn't played on paper, and that's fine, I understand it. But the Browns have much better depth, they have much better blue-chip players, they have much more flexibility and versatility, and you know, I think a couple of the narratives that I'm happy that we can graduate from soon enough is it's like, you know, for a while there, it was like, wow, we're talking about the Browns in this positive light. Like, yeah, get used to it. Like, that's how it's going to be for a while, right? Because you've got smart people in charge. You've got good players. You've got an ascending quarterback. So I think the defense might be that the defense kind of like, the floor is set by the offense. Like, they're going to be good this year, right? The Browns aren't going to go 5-12 next year. They're going to be, I think, you know, at minimum a 9-win team. The ceiling is met by the defense. That's how the ceiling is determined. Is if this defense can kick things up a notch or several notches from last year, then I would think the Browns sort of fall into that just below Kansas City, Buffalo tier. It's Cleveland, it's Baltimore, maybe it's Tennessee. I think it's those sort of teams that are vying for that 3-4 slot in the AFC of the conference.
Field, Adam and I were talking earlier today about this division, about Pittsburgh, and he thinks Pittsburgh's going to take a huge step back this season. He thinks they're a 7-win team. I think he's nuts. Where do you see Pittsburgh this year?
Well, I feel like, you know, death taxes and going at least 500, which is no longer a thing in the NFL, although I suppose 8-8-1 would do the trick, but with Mike Tomlin as your head coach, right? So, but I do think that Pittsburgh is going to start to teeter a little bit, not to the point that they fall out of the playoff race by, you know, Halloween or anything, but this is a team that had very limited resources to get decidedly better this offseason. They basically went into player retention or player cut mode because of the cap restrictions this year. Obviously, they kept a couple of notable guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, amongst others, and they eventually got the Big Ben contract hammered out. But the defense for them is going to keep them competitive. Mike Tomlin's obviously an outstanding leader. I feel like I'm just a walking cliche at the moment, but I have some serious concerns about the offense. Like, the offense in the second half, and obviously down the stretch last season, was such a difficult watch. It was just like, it felt like every single point they scored was, you know, it was like so earned. Like, there was no free point down the stretch. And, you know, one thing that I'm sure Browns fans will be thrilled to hear this is that you know, the mentality has changed. Like, the Browns went to Pittsburgh with like half their roster in the playoffs and wiped them, completely dusted them. Like, the Steelers' mental edge that they may have had over at least half the division in in Cleveland and Cincinnati, I mean, is definitely gone from the Browns. And, you know, the Bengals probably fancied themselves as friskier. So I think Pittsburgh still finds a way to 9 wins, but they strike me as a team that could be watching the playoffs come January.
What do you think about Najee Harris and the drafting of him? How big of an upgrade is he at running back?
Yeah, I have this rule this year where I'm trying to become more understanding of teams and their moves and less sort of pro. I always want my first reaction to be, okay, why did the team do this, right? And I get why the Steelers did it. Najee's a really dynamic player. He was unbelievable this past year. Very good in the passing game. Obviously really good as a runner. That's why you drafted him 24th overall. I just feel like you might have put a little bit of a Band-Aid over a flesh wound there, because the offensive line has been dramatically impacted this offseason between free agency and the retirement of Marquise Pouncey. So I feel like the Steelers may have gotten better at running back, but decidedly worse at offensive line. And, you know, we've seen it. We've seen unbelievable running backs. Like Saquon Barkley during his second season did not look like Saquon Barkley as a rookie, and a lot of that wasn't Saquon's fault. It was the offensive line's fault that just couldn't get any push. So I like Najee as a player a ton. I think the Steelers as an organization are always going to be a team that I'm like a year too late to count out as opposed to a year too early to count out. But I felt like there were better allocations of resources at pick number 24. They could have gone with an offensive lineman. And I think that would have been a way to, whether it was a Creed Humphrey, the eventual second round center out of Oklahoma, or some of the offensive tackles that went, Tevin Jenkins, amongst others, in that early portion of the second round, it would have been good picks there to fill some bigger needs.
Field, if you had to take the top three receivers from the Browns, the Bengals, or the Steelers, who are you taking?
I am going to go with...
It's tough.
You know, I'm going to go with the Bengals. This is tough, right? I know. It's one of those where it's like, you know, the minute you answer, you're like, oh, crap, what, do I really mean that? You know, like, so I think the Bengals, though, like, T. Higgins was special down the stretch last year. That was so fun to watch during a basically lost season for that team once Joe Burrow got hurt. Tyler Boyd is just like rock solid. You know, I'm not sure he cracks anybody's top 20 wide receiver list, but no matter where he is or when he's playing, he seems to just find a way to the football and, you know, 8 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown pretty frequently. And then Ja'Marr Chase has a chance to be ridiculous. You know, he went 5th overall for a reason. They left, or I guess they could have drafted an offensive tackle or any defensive player at that 5th overall pick, which would have filled some significant needs. And they decided that Ja'Marr Chase, despite having 2 good wide receivers, was worth it. So I'll go with the Bengals. I understand that, you know, you're projecting there with Chase. The Browns have certainly the most accomplished wide receiver trio. If you just, that's just OBJ and Jarvis on their own. But I'll go with the Bengals right now.
Field, if you had to bet, I'm not going to ask you which team, but if you had to bet, opening day 2022, is Aaron Rodgers a Packer? Is Russell Wilson a Seahawk? Is Deshaun Watson a Texan? Opening day 2022.
I got no across the board. No, okay. Across all three of them. And so Aaron, you know, I thought you were going to ask about 2021, and I still might have said no for Aaron.
Wow.
Russ, you know, here's the thing about Russell Wilson is that, you know, the minute you have a quarter, you have a list in mind of where you'd be happy to be traded. Like, as far as I'm concerned, that means that, you know, you started packing the bags already. And I maybe I'm way off, but I can't, you know, if they win the Super Bowl this year, that's one thing. And maybe everything gets happy, it gets better. But it strikes me as a sign that he has started to chart his course of life beyond the Seahawks. Maybe I'm way wrong. But that feels to me the direction in which it's heading. And then Houston, I understand that, and we all understand that Deshaun is in the middle of a significant legal situation. I do not know what the conclusion of that will be. If he is acquitted of some of these charges, or acquitted of these accusations, or actually just not proven guilty of these accusations, then, you know, obviously the story can shift a little bit back towards football. And I still think, though, that the Texans, from a football standpoint, are starting to basically begin their rebuild, understanding that this roster is so bereft of talent. They had zero draft capital to begin this process. Nick Caserio, their new GM, has been stockpiling free agents left and right, but all signs point towards cleaning up the books from a salary cap standpoint and eyeing towards the future. So I think that Deshaun Watson's playing elsewhere by 2022, if not sooner.
Field, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me on. And again, Dustin, great to have you back. You guys continue to crush it. Love hearing about all your success always.
You're the best. Thanks, Field.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!